Friends, this is the word of the Lord. So as we have enjoyed, many of us, this 4th of July weekend or Independence Day celebration eve of today and yesterday, and maybe even some of us began on Friday, we are grateful for this holiday. Many of us, a respite from work, time to visit and share in family reunion. Some of us, we're going to have a big family reunion up at Mount Zion today. I know Jennifer Huddleston and her family had a big reunion not long ago. And family is something that we celebrate oftentimes, reunions during this summertime. And as we think about Independence Day, I think it's the heart of the birth of our nation. When we get it right as a people, it's when we understand that we are one family, as we often hear, and we even see printed in certain places that we celebrate one nation under God, one family under God. I love that it's reminding us that through God, we are one. Isn't that the essence of our faith? It's certainly central to Paul's letter to this church in Galatia, where he reminds them and he says those words that we celebrated a few weeks ago in the sermon, and it's a paramount theme throughout the passage. Paul says this: in Christ, we're no longer Jew or Greek. We're no longer slave or free. We're no longer male or female. We're no longer rich or poor. We are one in Christ Jesus. That's the beauty of the theme of Paul's message of the freedom and life-giving love we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thinking about Independence Day, the day after Shirley MacLaine's birthday, right? Thinking about Independence Day, I reviewed that movie clip. Some of y'all may have seen the movie Independence Day, right? Where Randy Quaid flies this airplane up into this alien ship. I mean, it's really a great movie if you haven't seen it. Mike, you need to check it out. So in Independence Day, the President of the United States actually makes this speech that he says, as we all, as a people throughout the world, are one today because we are fighting not just for our independence as our nation, but we're fighting for survival as mankind, one another. We are one. As much as I got chill bumps hearing that speech and celebrating the unity of it, it was the speech of the crazy Randy Quaid in that movie that moved me even more. Because you see, Randy Quaid was seen as kind of a lunatic, can you say that in the pulpit? He was kind of a crazy guy in people's, because he had been visited by aliens, he thought, in times past. People wrote him off until they figured out he was telling the truth. And as Randy Quaid, not to try to give the movie away for those of you who hadn't seen it all, faced his uncertain future of if he would make it through that battle with his very life, he said, I want y'all to do me one favor. Tell my family I love them. See, what I got out of his effort was this. It is important for us to be united and serve one another. And how better to do that than to look at one another as our very family. You see, we give to family what we won't give to others around us. Isn't that right? Family makes us load up on Sunday morning and go fill a pew to celebrate grandmama and mama's birthday, right? Family makes these families get in competition. We used to do this in the old days. I don't know if y'all remember. On Mother's Day, there'd be a big competition. Which mama would have the most relatives come on Mother's Day? Sometimes they'd fill up a couple pews. My mama Gladys would. family makes the difference in how we respond to the world around us. Friends, I believe that is at the essence of this letter that Paul is writing to Galatians. When he sees all this division in the church, when he sees this disagreement and fighting, does any of that sound familiar in the world we live in today? There's a lot of disagreement. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming, a lot of my way, my agenda, my opinion, right? This is what Paul was dealing with as he wrote to the church in Galatia. You know how he responded? Here's what he said. Let's hear it again. Paul said, if you see somebody in a transgression, or let's break it down into Faulkner language here. If you see somebody doing something wrong, if you do see them acting a way they shouldn't act, Tommy, or not acting a way that they should act, in other words, if you see them sinning, doing something that God didn't plan for their best life, he said, here's what you should do. You should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Wow. How about that? Friends, that's the church. That's the faith, Eileen. That's the difference that we offer to the world that those outside of the church do not. See, it's so easy to express our disagreement with anger and attacks. But the church is the one place that Paul says, people of faith, yes, we can disagree. And yes, we should restore those who are messing up, just as we do our children. We love our children. We're going to tell them when they need to do something differently. Why? Because we love them enough to correct them. But Paul says, can't we as the church be different? Can't we restore with love and grace, Lamont? Can't we restore with a spirit of gentleness? Can't we show the world how to disagree, Paul would say, without being disagreeable? In other words, I think Paul is saying, can't we be family? See, I'm a simple-minded person. I really am. I like to break it down. Occam's razor would tell us, when all things are equal, break it down to the simplest point and see if we can use that as a strategy to move forward. To me, our faith, as we hear preached about throughout the gospel, is about love. What greater example of love is there than family love? Family. The ones we'll go to reunions for, right? The ones we'll drive great distances and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, cook our best meal. Why? Because we want them to know the value we have for them and the love we share with each other. That's what family does. And see, you have to look close in the scripture to understand that that's the heart of what Paul is saying, I think. Because he begins, I read a portion of it. In this translation today, it began with my friends. But really the Greek is better interpreted this way, my brothers. My siblings. My sisters. See what Paul's doing. He's saying, you're not just the church. You're family. My family. And more importantly, God's family. You're His. A month or so ago, my niece Montana and Grant, Corey and Lucy, they were here in worship with us. And little Cora, how old's Cora? She two? 2 years old, and we went for a walk, Dad and Cora and I did, and strolled out in the, and man, that stroller will put them out. If y'all ever having kids problem, put them in the stroller, Jody. Your boys still, they outgrown the stroller, hadn't they? Strap them down. Get some good straps. Just, no, don't do that. That may be child abuse. Cora was strolling, and my dog Luna come up and grabbed her rabbit, her little stuffed rabbit. Was that Bree or not? It was one of her rabbits. It was Bree, and ran off, and she brought it back, and we saved the day. Now, Cora has a plethora of stuffed animals, and she has more than one rabbit, but she has one rabbit with name, and her name is Bree. And guess what? She's different. She's special. When we give it a name, or him and her a name, it means more, right? They become part of the family. Friends, you have a name written in heaven above. You have a name that God claims you as special in His eyes and part of His family. I pray you feel that love today. Pray you understand, in spite of yourself, Vince, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of my knuckleheadedness, my brokenness, God looks upon me as one worthy to be restored to the family of the heavenly host above. You see, Paul begins the letter here by saying that, my brothers, you're my family. And he ends by saying this. Near the end, he says this. He says, you know, we don't need to think about every way we can boast, everything we've done, because all it amounts to is nothing but a hill of beans. None of your works, nothing matters but Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you. Because you're worthy of Him living and dying for, not because you're so good, but because God is so gracious to claim you as part of the family. You see, I think that's the essence. I've wrestled often with these two words in this passage today. And you find it in other places too, where Paul says this near the end. He says, we are a new creation. In Christ, we are a new creation. What does that mean? You think about, I looked up that word creation again and tried to find out different ways that the scripture writers use it throughout our text. Oftentimes when you hear that word creation, we think of birth. Even in the Old Testament, right? We hear about the creation, how it all began. In Hebrews, we hear about how the writer talked about us, how we were as though we the whole earth was going through labor pains as the creation. So often when we think about creation, we think of a beginning, right? Here Paul, let's dig deeper, says we are a new creation, or how about this, a new birth, or how about this, born again in Christ. You see the family imagery again. Read a book this week, I'm about halfway through it, that Recent Price gave to me on the life and legacy of Ernie. I just drew a blank on his name. Ernie Johnson Jr. You've heard me preach about him before on TBS Sports. Unscripted is the name of it. Ernie Johnson Jr. and his wife. Once they thought their family was complete, I'd shared portions of the story with you before, they decided to adopt a son. But not just any son, a son from Romania, a son who, when they had a plan to go to Romania, his wife said, I think we should go to Romania, adopt a little girl, make sure she's healthy and she's real young, just born, and bring her home and nurture, because they have a lot of children that aren't being taken care of in Romania. So she went and she said, I found a boy. He's severely handicapped. He's almost 3 years old. He met none of the boxes, the criterias. She said, but I don't think I can live the rest of my life wondering what happened to this child. Ernie said, bring him home. And he said, within 45 seconds of embracing that child, there was a love that came over him he never thought was possible. And he went from a child to a son. It's what love does. It's what family does. That we can be a new creation. That we can be born again, Lynn. That we can be adopted into God's heavenly family and loved. Love more than we can ever imagine. Friends, I pray you feel that love today. And if you do, I invite you, give that love to this world around us who needs it. This world around us that needs the gentleness of restoration. This world around us that needs hope in desolation. This world around us that needs to see the light and love of Jesus Christ, for He is our only hope. Now, yesterday, and forever. God bless you, family of God. Amen.